Good morning, seminary family.
Good morning.
This morning, I would like to share with you something that God has shared with me. And for those of you who, I feel I'm in kindergarten, so for those of you who are a little bit above me, please bear with me and maybe it'll be a refresher. And for those who have never heard this, well, praise the Lord. I was feeling like Nicodemus. I wanted to know what Micah 6:8 meant. It was grabbing at my mind and it wouldn't let me go. I just had to know the meaning of it. And so, since I work in the seminary, I'm amidst great minds, I approached several students and asked them, would you do me a favor? Would you please preach a sermon on Micah 6:8? And when you do, invite me to your church because I want to hear it. And of course, several said, oh yeah, sure, why not? Okay. Needless to say, they did not do the sermon. So I changed my approach and I spoke with a graduated seminary student and I thought, this might work. I said, could you do a sermon on Micah 6:8 and tell me what it means? Do the sermon, invite me to your church, and I want to hear it. Unpack it. There's a lot there. He says, he has showed thee, O man, what is required of thee. But what does that mean, he has showed thee? Does that mean he revealed it in the book of Micah, somewhere in the book? Does it mean he shared it somewhere else? And what does it mean to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? I want to know. The very next day, that student showed up. And he came and he said, Deuteronomy 10:12. What? Deuteronomy 10:12. Oh, what does that say? I immediately got the Bible out. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Well, that was as far as we've got. I'm still waiting for the sermon. One day I was contemplating the text, and the Lord opened my mind to receive understanding. The text had to do with thoughts, feelings, and actions. To do justly, that involves thought. For only through the mind can we determine what justice is and how to do justice. To love mercy involves my feelings, and to walk humbly involves my soul or my very being. And so I compare that with Deuteronomy 10:12 to fear the Lord. Well, there's your thoughts, because to fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. To walk in his ways means to walk humbly. So I saw that comparison with these texts, and that involves our soul or our being. To love and serve him involves our feelings. Now that brought me to Matthew 22:37-38. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And Jesus added, this is the first and great commandment. And there it is again. With all your heart, your emotions, with all your soul, your being, with all your mind, your thoughts. And I was just enraptured with this knowledge. It was like something new for me. And that took me to Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I read in the book of Education, as the perfection of his character is dwelt upon, the mind is renewed and the soul is recreated in the image of God. By beholding, we become changed. And I thought, wow, this is how transformation takes place. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has. Behold, I make all things new. Behold the lion from the tribe of Judah. Wow. An engagement with the word of God is transformative. And it stands to reason that only by beholding a just God can we learn to do justly. Only by beholding a God in his wonderful mercy can we begin to love and appreciate mercy. Only by beholding God's humility, that humility that took him all the way to the cross, only then can we learn humility. That's the theme, my friends. Thoughts, feelings, actions, how to have those transformed. The Book of Education on Book 44 says, a knowledge of God, fellowship with him in study and in labor, likeness to him in character, were to be the source, the means, and the aim of Israel's education. And notice the sequence of it, the knowledge of God, there's your thoughts again. Fellowship with him, that's your heart. In study and in labor, your actions. I just kept seeing this recurring theme. Now I also noticed something, that Satan knows that he cannot overcome man unless he can control his will. He cannot control us unless he can control our will. The will is the command center for the thoughts. So if your will is right, your thoughts will line up, your motives, your feelings, and your actions. It's the command center, and Satan wants control of that. And in Christ's Object Lessons, our dear Sister White tells us, what you need to understand is the true force of the will. And maybe I should back up just a little. You desire to give yourself to him, but you are weak in moral power, in slavery to doubt, and controlled by the habits of your life of sin. Your promises and resolutions are like ropes of sand. You cannot control your thoughts, your impulses, and your actions. The knowledge of your broken promises and forfeited pledges weakens your confidence in your own sincerity and causes you to feel that God cannot accept you. But you need not despair. You need not despair. What you need to understand is the true force of the will. This is the governing power in the nature of man, the power of decision, the power of choice. Everything depends on the right action of the will. The power of choice God has given to men, it is theirs to exercise. You cannot change your heart. You cannot of yourself give to God its affections, but you can choose to serve him. You can give him your will. He will then work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, isn't that good news? And this is how the will is brought under the control of the Spirit of Christ. Our affections will be centered upon him, and our thoughts will be in harmony with him. When we submit ourselves to Christ, the heart is united with his heart, the will is merged in his will, the mind becomes one with his mind, the thoughts are brought into captivity to him, we live his life. This is what it means to be clothed with the garment of righteousness. And then the last text is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So in summary, this is what I learned from Micah 6:8. Doing justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with my God involves all my thoughts, feelings, and actions. The mind is renewed by beholding, and since it is only by beholding a just, merciful, and humble God that we can learn to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with him. The will is the command center where everything takes place, and Satan wants to control it, thereby controlling us. But God gives us a will where we can choose to serve him. He will then empower us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he will equip us to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with him. And I just praise him for teaching me this. The last thing I'd like to share with you is that this, for me, is just scratching the surface. So your homework assignment from this pulpit is to write a sermon about this, and I'll come to hear you preach.